There are few things in life that are more devastating than when a mother loses access to her child.
I wanted to literally die. I actually took a whole lot of strong calmatives, and if it wasn't for a friend who snapped me out of it, and he made me throw up, and he just grabbed me and he said, "You ever do this again, I'll kill you myself personally." He said, "You fight."
That was one of our clients, Mira, describing her experience after her husband, Alex, refused to return their son to her. As a husband, Alex had been emotionally abusive. He was demanding and controlling.
He got me up once at 4:30 in the morning. "You haven't ironed my trousers." I got up startled, got up and ironed his pants. By the way, they were Yakkers. "You don't need to iron these pants."
Shortly after Mira fell pregnant with their son, Danny, she developed preeclampsia, and so she had to leave her job in marketing. Alex controlled the finances.
I had to beg for money, and he'd question me. "What's it for? Why do you need it? Where's it going? No, you don't need it."
Once their son Danny was born, Alex was extremely possessive.
The only time that I was really allowed to hold him was breastfeeding.
When Danny was around one, she decided she wanted to go back to work.
He jumped up and down. "No, you're not going to go back to work, not going to go back to work." I said, "Yes, I am." He even went to my parents behind my back at that time and said, "She wants to go back to work. Who's going to cook? Who's going to clean?"
Mira had to leave this marriage. When Danny was 2 years old, she told Alex that she wanted a divorce. Alex refused to leave the house, and she had to get the police to remove him. Under the parenting consent orders, Danny was to live with his mum, with regular overnight visits each week with Alex. But Alex made this difficult. He would return Danny late and often abuse Mira during handover. Eventually, they had to do handover at the police station, where Alex always caused a scene. Mira also realised that Danny's behaviour was changing. Alex seemed to be saying awful things about her to their son. One day, while driving Danny home, she heard him say,
"Fuck mummy. Fuck mummy."
Alex also started to spread rumours about Mira throughout the school and to her family. Then one day, Alex refused to return Danny to Mira after his visit. Alex was in violation of the parenting consent orders, but he didn't care.
And he didn't return him. He would send me nasty text messages. "You know, you dirty, junky dog, ugly, junky dog."
Mira went to the only lawyers that she could afford. They brought some proceedings, but then just asked for more money.
I tried to go into the court system and fight it myself.
But often she missed dates and couldn't understand the system. Judges were hostile to her. They were suspicious of her. She couldn't compete with her ex-husband's high-priced lawyers. Losing Danny was the last straw. It broke her. She couldn't work anymore. She couldn't see people.
I lost everything. All my personal belongings, all my clothes, all my photos. I ended up being homeless, living out of my car for nearly 4 months.
Mira bounced around the welfare system.
I was wilted, gone, all my things were stolen. I was living in a women's refuge with 40 other women in a tiny little room.
When she had the strength, she continued to approach the courts to fight for her son. Judges were rarely sympathetic and she still could not afford legal help. She had fallen through the cracks. But then one day she tried something different. Even though she hadn't seen Danny or Alex for years, she tried to take out an intervention order against Alex on her and Danny's behalf.
And I went into the courtroom and I looked at the magistrate and I said, "Your Honour, this is an unusual request, I know, but I need your help." She heard my story a little bit. She said to me, "Where you were sitting, right behind you, are two lovely ladies, Saskia and Rachel from the Peninsula Legal Centre." She said, "I'm going to adjourn the matter. I want you to speak to these two young ladies and you come back to me about 3 o'clock. I thought in my head, "Here we go again. No one's listening to me." I went and spoke to Saskia and Rachel, and for the first time ever, she listened to me. She heard me, Rachel the same.
Saskia and Rachel developed a legal strategy to help Mira. By this time, she had moved into the welfare system and had secured housing. She would soon be moving into an apartment of her own.
It was like my angels were there that day. And I call them my angels. Saskia. Saskia's got guts.
Saskia and Rachel have slowly been able to help Mira gain access to her son again.
I only seen my baby. Firstly, it was 2 hours for the first month supervised. They wanted it supervised, and I'm thinking that's ridiculous. I've never hurt my baby.
The proceedings are still continuing, but Mira is slowly rebuilding her relationship with her son.
If it wasn't for Saskia, I would not be here today. She's given me the hope. She has given me my baby back and has made me a promise that we will make a change in the law, and that's what I want.
Names have been changed to protect the parties' identities.